Welcome to the Workshop Teacher Podcast, a podcast for teachers who are interested in trying workshop in their classrooms and teachers who are obsessed with it, like me. It's a new year, and you know what that means. Lots of people are trying lots of new things. Maybe you have a one-word resolution. Maybe you have an actual New Year's resolution. Maybe you don't. I don't know. You tell me. But this episode is going to talk about how if you're trying or you want to try workshop, the one thing that I believe you should do, and it's a very simple thing, but it's also, in my opinion, the most powerful thing that you can do when beginning workshop, either reading or writing workshop. But before we start talking about that one simple thing that you can start doing to just get started with workshop, I would like to shout out someone who has reviewed the podcast. I currently have 22 reviews and 31 five-star ratings. Thank you so much, teachers, for reviewing this podcast on iTunes. It's what helps us grow. It helps the podcast get into the phones of more teachers who are interested in this kind of thing, in this topic. So I really, really appreciate those of you who are just taking the time to click over and write a review for the podcast. And I am giving away a $50 gift card to one person after I receive 50 reviews. So we are currently at 22 reviews. This teacher is the teacher of the week, and I'm so sorry that I don't know your names. I wish that I did. You should come join my Facebook group so that I can get to know you all better. If you just search Workshop Inspiration for Upper Grade Teachers, you can find a Facebook group and come over and join. I think we have almost 1,600 members now, which is really awesome. And I'm trying to, you know, stimulate discussion and good stuff in there, videos and all sorts of blog posts that I find as I'm doing my research on workshop. So you should definitely come join us. But this reviewer, this teacher is, I love this username, is Kindred Hearts Workshop Love. I think, no, that's the title of their review. This podcast user is Brew Brews. That's a pretty cool name. I like it. So the title of this review is Kindred Hearts Workshop Love. So we're Kindred Hearts. Amanda, thank you for sharing your experience. I just recently found your podcast. I'm an eighth grade ELA workshop teacher in South Bay. If you don't know what South Bay is, that is, wow, you're really close by. So I live in the Bay Area, and if you live in the Bay Area, you know that there are many different neighborhoods in the Bay Area. So Brew Brews lives in South Bay. We should connect on Facebook. You need to message me. We could actually meet. Brew Brews, let's meet. I really appreciate your vulnerability as it validates the trials and triumphs I have had in implementing reading and writing workshop over the past 4 years. Moreover, your advice is so spot on. Thank you, and keep sharing when you can. Thank you so much, Brew Brews, for especially just that part about sharing when you can, because I know if anyone has been listening to the recent episodes, you'll probably notice that the sound quality is not the best because I've been doing Facebook Lives, and then my brother, Zach, he lives in Washington State where I grew up, and he takes the Facebook Lives and he extracts the audio, and sometimes it's not the best quality. So I'm trying to make time at home to actually record using this program called called Audacity, which it has much better quality. So I'm doing my best. I work full time, just like you, Brew Brews. And so I really do. One of my New Year's resolutions is to record a podcast every Thursday evening. It is Thursday evening right now, and then publish on Sunday, at least, at the very least, every other Sunday. But if I'm on a roll and I'm really just grooving with things, then every Sunday. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But thank you so much for your review. I so appreciate you taking the time to write this review. And let's meet, Brew Brews. If we're kindred hearts, we should meet. And if we live in the same area, we should definitely meet. It's like, you know, it's totally normal. Do you remember, like, 10 years ago when it was creepy to meet people online, and now it's just totally acceptable practice, right? Okay, so let's get into the topic today. The one thing that you should do if you really just want to try workshop out. So before I talk about this thing that you should do, you should definitely do, because I believe it's the most powerful thing that you can do when implementing reading and writing workshop, I just want to define what workshop is. And actually, I want to use dictionary.com. And I know this is kind of weird, but bear with me, okay? So workshop, what is workshop? Well, when we think of workshop as teachers, we think reading and writing workshop. But when you think about the word workshop, maybe 20, 30 years ago, you think wood workshop, don't you? Or just being outside and in a garage working on some, like creating some birdhouse or something like that, you know, building a birdhouse. I actually took workshop, wood workshop in high school, and I remember building a birdhouse. So it's like that, right? It's so on dictionary.com, it says there's two definitions for workshop. The first one is a room, group of rooms, or building in which work, especially mechanical work, is carried on. And the second definition is a seminar, discussion, group, or the like that emphasizes exchange of ideas and the demonstration and application of techniques, skills, etc. It's basically wood workshop. I feel like there's another name for that, but I can't place it right now. The kids are doing meaningful work. They're building writing. They're building identities as writers. That's all workshop is. And I actually recently asked my Facebook group, what caused you to start trying workshop out? What was it that's just motivated you to try it? And I loved the answers. One answer was, I want to help kids find their voice. I want to differentiate for a wide variety of learners. I felt how good it was for me as a writer to write about what mattered to me. These are such beautiful answers to this question. And I feel like they reveal the true purpose of workshop, which is to allow students time to write what they want and to read what they want. So, and you might think, okay, that's what I do. That's what I need to do. That's my first step. That's my first step if I want to try workshop. But that's kind of a hard step. And, you know, if you create a resolution or a goal for this year for yourself, I don't know if you realize, I'm sure you do, that you can't just say, I'm going to eat healthier, or I'm going to exercise more, or I'm going to try to be nicer to my husband, or whatever your resolution is. None of those statements that I just made are going to actually, they're just too broad. They're too broad. So we need to be specific, be very specific about our resolutions if we really want to follow through with them. And I've learned that over time, that and make them small. Make your goals really small and doable. And I think that, you know, when someone is introduced to the workshop approach, it can feel really overwhelming. It can feel like too much. What? I'm going to give all my kids the choice to read whatever they want. What? I'm going to give them the choice. What? Like, how am I just going to be like, hey, everyone, just write whatever you want. That's too overwhelming. So here is my suggestion to you right now in this episode. If you want to try workshop, the first thing that I believe that you should do is actually the last thing that I started doing as a workshop teacher. I'm being completely honest, because I was so scared of it. It was intimidating. What am I talking about? I'm talking about sitting among my students. That's it. Just sitting among my students. So take a chair and sit next to a group of students when they're working. And then move the chair 5 minutes later, move the chair somewhere else, and then move the chair another place, and then another place. And you don't even need to say anything. You could just tell your students, you know, I'm just observing you at work. And you could just take notes on what you see them doing. And this is the first step of conferring with your students. And conferring, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. And I love Carl Anderson. He wrote a book called How's It Going? I love it. And the reason I love it is because I avoided conferences for a very, very long time. I did mini lessons, and I gave students choice, and I did work time, and I even did the meeting area, which was really hard, because getting kids to move to a specific spot in your room and move close to you, they sometimes don't like it, and it's another transition, and you know, you don't have enough time, and la 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 la. I did all of that stuff before I started conferring. But then I read this book, How's It Going, by Carl Anderson, and I woke up to what conferencing can be. And the reason is because he talks about conferences being just conversations. That's it. You're just talking to your students, and you don't even need to track it if you don't want to. If it's too overwhelming, that's okay. And when you think of like a wood workshop class, you're building something, and what's the teacher doing? They're roaming around, helping as needed, giving advice as needed, answering questions as needed. So if you want to get started with workshop, just sit among your students and write down what you see them doing. And maybe you're thinking, well, how is that workshop? How is that even workshop? It's workshop because workshop is all about work, students working. And what's the teacher supposed to do? If you look back at the definition, it says an exchange of ideas. It's a group working, especially mechanical work, exchange of ideas, applying techniques. So what's the teacher supposed to do when the kids are exchanging ideas, like in a discussion of a book or a short story, or they're working on their writing? The teacher should be sitting among the students there as needed. And when you're observing them, you can be writing down ideas for your lesson tomorrow. It's the best way to plan, right there among your students, because you see what they're doing, you see what they need, and it inspires lessons. And you can differentiate your instruction. You can answer questions that and help them right then and there in the moment. And it's just differentiation at its finest. So if you want to get started with workshop, but you don't know where to start, start there. Do what you always do, but sit among your students when they're working. Have conversations with them. That's how you can get started with workshop tomorrow. And maybe you're already doing this. and you didn't even realize that you are already doing workshop. That is today's episode. I hope you loved it. If you did, come tell me. I love hearing from you. You can email me, amandarightnow@gmail.com. Tell me what you think of the podcast. Tell me what you would love me to do an episode on. I will do an episode. If you email me and you say, Amanda, will you talk about this? I will do it. I promise you. Join the Facebook group and write a review. Thank you so much for listening, and I will be back hopefully next week, if not the following. Bye, everyone.